Merry meet. My name is Ariel, and this is A Witch's Primer, Basic Training in Non-Denominational Witchcraft. Join in the discussion at thedcw.999.org. That's thedcw.999.org. Blessed be. Welcome back. Today's lesson is on the raising and directing of energy. And before we get into the lesson, I would like to answer a few of your questions. First of all, there was a little bit of confusion, and that was because I was not very clear. There are a series of exercises that I recommend as a part of your daily practice while you're working through these lessons. And those have been broken down into individual meditations, and I have been presenting each of those meditations one at a time. That's the grounding and centering, followed by the orb of light, and then the balancing of the energy bodies and opening of the energy centers. It is not necessary that you listen to each of these meditational recordings in turn. The idea is that you get used to working with each of these exercises by using the recording, and then not need the recording anymore, and then you can do it yourself. And so each week you add on one more element. So the first week you were working with the grounding and centering, and then the next time we added the orb of light, and then the next time we added the balancing of the energy bodies and the opening of the energy centers. By the time you have completed doing all of those things, it should be pretty well memorized, so you don't need the recording. And as a result of that, you can get it done much more quickly than if you go through those meditations, because that would take you quite a bit of time every day. In fact, your entire daily practice shouldn't be more than 15 to 30 minutes. So it should never feel like drudgery. If you want to go longer, absolutely do. But if you're pressed for time, you can get a great amount of work done in a very short period of time. So I hope that makes some sense. You don't need the recordings. There have been several discussions and questions about the spirit guide meditation where the practitioner was somehow visited or contacted an entity that made them feel uncomfortable. I cannot reiterate this enough. You do not have anything to worry about in the spirit world as long as you are doing your exercises properly. You have just as much right to be on any plane of existence as any spirit. If a spirit does not feel comfortable to you, don't work with them. Just like in the physical world. The only difference is in the physical world, an entity can cause you physical harm. There's a lot less danger in the psychic planes of you having any kind of a problem. Because in the psychic planes, you can just will yourself out of any situation you don't want to be in. You have a right to have healthy boundaries between you and any presence you do not feel that you want to work with. So if there is a sense of, I wonder if that spirit guide is going to be good for me, then it's probably not your spirit guide. Does that make sense? You should feel at ease. You should feel comfortable. You should feel like like they have something to teach you. If not, move on. You don't owe any entity anything. You don't owe them any explanation. You don't have to defend yourself, and you don't have to see them again. And if you get into a situation where you don't know what to do, go back to the grounding and centering, the orb of light. And those two things should take care of it. And if you still feel funky, then go take one of your spiritual purification exercises. Go smudge, or do a salt scrub or a bath. Get into taking charge, and you just the flooding of light through the orb of light, and smudging and salt baths, breathing, the things like that are going to be all you need to take care of these things. So don't feel like vulnerable, because you're not vulnerable unless you think you're vulnerable. If it feels scary to do anything, then don't do that. Go back a few weeks. There may be certain things in the craft that you never feel comfortable with doing, and you don't have to do those things. That's just all there is to it. If you don't feel like you want to have a spirit guide, don't have one. Nobody's going to make you do that. Hopefully that makes some sense. But just realize that your attitude is everything in this. Take the attitude of, I'm in charge. I have every right to be here. And the only entities that are allowed around in my presence are entities that are helpful and positive for me. And everyone else has to leave. Why? Because I say so. Right? And if you don't have that kind of command, then you need to go back and do your fire body week again, because that's what that's for. There was also a question on this introduction to spell casting. They couldn't, the person, it was Athena's child, couldn't think of anything that she wanted. I think it's a she, that she wanted. So could I do a spell for somebody else? All right. I'm not a moralistic type of teacher. I don't get into the Wiccan read and all that stuff, because I think we're adults. And if you're not adult, then you shouldn't be practicing the craft. All I do is teach you principle. So that's as much into ethics as I'm going to go, is this. Everything you do to yourself. Everything you do, you are doing to yourself. Imagine the feeling of knowing that someone is doing magic on you without your permission and without your knowledge. Imagine what that would feel like. Imagine the feeling of even somebody that thinks that they're doing a good thing for you. Imagine the feeling of being manipulated on any level, even if it's for your own good. It doesn't feel good. So you are imprisoning yourself anytime you impose your will, even from the perspective of I'm helping them. So everything you're doing to yourself, even if it seems like a good thing. Oh, but I'm doing a healing spell. I'm doing a prosperity spell for them. But it's still, you're imposing your will of what you think that their life is supposed to look like on them. Imagine how unnerving that would feel if you knew that there was somebody that was trying to impose their will upon you. So every time you impose your will upon another person without their permission, which is really then not imposing your will, it's imposing their will if they gave you permission, right? You are imprisoning yourself. That's phase one. Phase two is, if you have not mastered this stuff, if you're not a master on some level, if you're not adept at working magic on your own for yourself, then you are not ready to involve other people, even if they do give you their permission. That's my opinion, and do what you want with that. But that's what I have to say about that. It's just like if you didn't know how to, if you hadn't, you know, gone to chiropractor school, but you decided that you were going to give all your friends adjustments because you've been to a chiropractor, you know what it feels like. That's not very wise, and it's not very ethical. The same thing goes with this. You think maybe that you know what you're doing, but if you don't have a lot of practice and a lot of training at this, doing things for other people is really not your place, even if they give you permission. Now, again, it's up to you and your guides to know when that is appropriate for you, because you're not having one-on-one training. This is a self-study program. So if you feel like it's time and you feel like you have enough experience under your belt, doing magic for other people, then that's fine, you know. But remember that you're there's a huge amount of responsibility there when you start directing powerful psychic forces to change another person's life, for even if it's with their permission. So be very, very aware. This isn't a question, but we just found out that our friend Silverthorn is a Libra. And that is an air sign, Silverthorn. And he's one of our wonderful contributors. He has so many beautiful insights and things to say. And now I know why I feel so compatible, because I'm an Aries, and Aries and Libra go real well together. There was a question on, Ryan asked, Hi, Ariel. I store all of my magical tools and items in a small box when not in use. when performing a consecration, etc., at my altar, do you think I should then exit my trance before packing everything up or after everything is put away? You know, actually, that's a really good question, how to come out of a trance, because I haven't really discussed that too much. You do want to exit your trance before you pack things up, in my opinion. I would really feel like you've shut down your ritual, even if it's a mental ritual. I would really feel like you shut down your ritual and then pack everything up. And it's a real good idea to be very clear with yourself that it's over. I'm back. I'm you know, the stamp the floor, clap your hands, be real clear, thank any spirits that have gathered, that kind of thing, to be very, very clear that you're back in waking consciousness, in the realms of human beings, in the physical world, so that that you're not feeling like you're straddling the veil between the two worlds, because that can be a high stress place to be if you're not back completely. So that's good. Let's see. We had another interesting question about, there was actually a couple conversations about food consecration. They're not really questions, but discussions. How to deal with consecrating your food if you are practicing privately or in secrecy. You know, you don't need to make a big deal out of it. If you're doing your daily work, you could just take a little breath and you don't even need to close your eyes and just say blessed be, and you feel the energy of blessing and white light moving over your food. And you can do it while you're having a conversation and nobody would even know what you were doing. You don't have to make a big deal out of it if you don't want to. If you have, you know, if you're in a place where you feel like you actually have to relax your body and take a moment and close your eyes, and you don't want to share with people what you're doing, you can just simply say, you know, I like to relax a little bit before I eat because it helps my digestion. If you're with Christian people, you can say, why don't we say grace? you know, witches are great at using whatever. You can use the Lord's Prayer. You can use the Hail Mary. You can do any prayer you want to can be a spell. You can take any form that you feel like. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be Celtic pagan deities. You can use whatever you need to. And that's the beauty of the craft is it can be used in any, with or without religion. You can go in and out of just about every religion and feel like you're grounded in your craft So hopefully that's helpful to you. And yeah, sometimes it's easy to forget to consecrate your food. And don't worry about it. You know, just do your best. That's all we're here to do, is do our best. We don't expect, you know, one of my favorite 12-step sayings, and I always say, it sounds like I'm like some full-blown alcoholic. I'm actually, I know a lot of recovering alcoholics, but I'm actually not an alcoholic. But I do have a lot of experience in the 12 steps, and I understand them fairly well. And one saying that I love is that it's progress, not perfection. Progress, not perfection. That's what we're interested in, is every day being a little bit better than the day before. But we're not looking for perfection, because when we're looking for perfection, then we become perfectionistic. And that starts to get very treacherous, because we'll never be perfect, especially not at the craft. The craft is too vast. There's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. And if you ever expect perfection out of yourself, especially in the craft, you are setting yourself up for sure failure every time. All right. Now let's see. What else are we looking at here as far as questions? We had one question about, there was a question about secrecy. There was a big discussion about secrecy, and it's controversial. it's really controversial. And actually, it's probably the more philosophical type discussions I usually save for my other podcast. And also shout outs and stuff like that I do on the other podcast, because I like this to be a practical podcast, and purely educational and purely practical. No entertainment, no music, no shout outs, none of that stuff. I want to stick to business here. But just real quickly, and I might go into this in further detail more philosophically on the other podcast, which is Ariel's Druidic Craft of the Wise Lectures, FYI, in case you don't know about my other podcast. The idea of secrecy is that you definitely want to keep your magical workings private, because that is just for magical effectiveness. So whatever you're working on magically, you do not want to discuss those with anybody except for people that are actually helping you. That can be somebody that you're working magic with in a group or partnership, a teacher, or somebody that's helping you troubleshoot them. Other than that, you don't want to tell anybody about what you're doing, because you want to have a focused energy. You don't want to disperse that energy by discussing it. In regards to staying private about the craft, that's a personal decision. And I personally am very private about my craft involvement. I don't discuss it with people outside the craft at all. That's how I do things, and that's how a lot of people do things, and that's possibly generational, because when I came up, nobody talked about the craft. There was no out of the broom closet. That didn't exist, and I pretty much stayed there. So it's really a personal decision, and you'll have to decide that for yourself. Okay. All right. So up to this point, you've been doing some very interesting work. We've got you purifying every day. We've got you consecrating your food. You did some pretty intensive 5-week training on building your what I call your magical five magical bodies. We aligned those magical bodies, started opening up your energy centers. You've been working on grounding and centering, and working with an orb of light every day, which has the dual purpose of giving you a sense of protection, as well as giving you a way of entering deeper and deeper states of trance, which is a type of magical state of consciousness. Now, what do we do from here? Well, there are several different ways that I sometimes will take this training, and I want to actually start talking about raising more energy and directing that energy. Next week, we'll probably talk a little bit, we're probably going to go into casting circles. And then after that, we'll talk about timing of spells, and we'll get into some other things. But I'd like for you to start practicing, as part of your daily practice, the actual raising of power, the raising of power. And we'll use this power to create things like thought forms and things like that as time goes by. But I just want you to practice actually raising and directing the power. So the three different things you're going to do with this power once you raise it is you're going to practice actually directing the power through your hands, through the palms of your hands. You're going to practice directing that power through your athame. And you're also going to practice directing power through your wand. So there's three different ways that you're going to practice directing this energy. So when you have finished your three little exercises, the next thing you're going to want to do while you're in that state, in other words, you have just finished you finished your grounding and centering, you've conjured your orb of light, and you have started raising energy by opening up your energy centers and aligning those bodies of those five bodies that we have been building. From there, it's a matter of starting to do deep rhythmic breathing. So what you're going to do while you're in that state is you're going to start taking very deep breaths in and out of your nose if possible. Unless you're very congested, then you can obviously use mouth breathing, but nose breathing is preferable. And as you take your inhale, you're going to feel energy moving up the right side of your body, going over your head. And as you exhale, the energy travels down the left side of your body. And you'll do that about 5 times, up the right side of your body, down the left side of your body. Inhaling up the right side of your body, exhaling down the left side of your body. After about 5 of those circuits, you're going to, in your mind, say, realize that that visualization, that circuit of energy going around up the right side of your body, down the left side of your body, is sort of on autopilot. So you're going to feel that kind of spinning. As you direct your attention to the energy then coming up the back side of your body on the inhale and down the front side of your body on the exhale. Up the back side of your body on the inhale, down the front side of your body on the exhale. And then after you've done that about 5 times, then you're going to see and feel those dual circuits of energy coming up the right and coming up the back, coming down the left and coming down the front, around and around and around. All right, after you've felt that for a few minutes, then you're going to continue with your rhythmic breathing and you're going to feel that energy coming straight up through the center of your body on the inhale, shooting up out through the crown of your head on the exhale and showering back down around your body in all directions, 360 degrees. Up the center of your body, down the outside of your body, showering all the way down around you. You're going to do that for about 5 breaths as well. From there, you have the opportunity to decide how you're going to play with it. Now, your first couple days, what I would recommend is that you just sit with your sit in your chair or on the floor, whatever's most comfortable for you, with your palms facing one another, just right about in front of your solar plexus area, just comfortably, palms facing one another, just relaxed, almost like little cups facing one another. And just start to play with the energy in your palms. And just feel them coming in toward each other and away from one another. And start to feel the magnetic draw as they come in toward one another. And feel the projection as they go away from one another. Start to feel those polarities of magnetism and projection that... Remember, this electromagnetic field, which is also known as your aura, is the energy that we are raising. And we are raising this energy not only from within, but also as a result of our connection with the earth that we've established through the grounding and the centering. So that's the first few days, just playing with this energy. Now think of this energy as an emanation of your nervous system, and also an emanation of the nervous system of the earth that you are connected with. And this is what we're in magic, one of the big forces that we use to actually direct this force. But right now, the first few days, I just want you to play with it. I just want you to play with it. Okay, once that gets more comfortable and you understand, you can just kind of gaze at the space between your palms, and you might see sort of like a little glitter or a little dust. Just start to just get a sense of what this power looks like and feels like. And then the next day, what I would recommend when you're playing with it, practicing directing energy, get a big bowl of water. A nice, fairly large size bowl or cauldron of water that you've added some sea salt to. And the reason why I want you to do this is when you're practicing directing energy, I'd like for you to direct this energy into the bowl or cauldron of water, because the salted water will neutralize the energy. And that way you can feel comfortable with raising and directing as large of amount of energy as you want to without worrying about any kind of residual psychic effect. Because we're not programming this energy to do anything. We're not creating real thought forms. We're just actually practicing directing the energy. So think of it as like a shooting range, which I kind of hate that because I'm so nonviolent. But if you think of a shooting range, those bullets are not going to hurt anybody. They're just going out into the target practice, right? Or bow and arrow. You're just doing target practice, and nothing bad's gonna happen. So the same thing with this is we're just practicing directing the energy. And if you direct it into some salted water, you can feel like it's really neutralizing that energy, so that you can feel free raising as much and directing as much energy as possible without having to worry about programming an actual thought form, which we'll get into at a later time. All right, so the first few days that you're working with directing energy, just direct the energy straight from the palms. And the first times that you do this, just notice what it feels like when you gently will the energy from the palms of your hands facing toward the cauldron or the bowl of salted water. And just see that energy that you, after you've raised the energy, like we've discussed, that you're just going to direct that energy toward the water and just start to see what that feels like. Don't even worry about willing any particular colors or bands of colors of energy. Just notice what it naturally comes out as. You might just see a glitter. You might not see anything, but you might just get a general sense of it. The next, after you feel a little bit more comfortable with that, start playing with some colors. Now, I would start with some very natural, safe colors, and those would be white light or the bluish light that we talk about, the witch light that looks sort of like a Bunsen burner or or a gas flame, and stick with those colors to begin with. And once you get good at seeing beams of light coming from your palms of those two colors, then start working with doing the same thing using your athame. And just see if you can see what it looks like to direct that energy. And notice the difference between when you're using the athame versus when you're using your palm. Try using your athame holding it with two hands. Try holding it with one hand. Try directing your athame at the bowl of water and put the other hand pointing straight up and see if you can direct energy from the sky to the earth. And then practice the opposite, directing still the energy with your athame toward the bowl of water, but with your other hand pointing toward the earth, and feel like you are directing energy from the earth into the bowl of water. Try that just with natural, however the energy naturally wants to color itself at first, and then color it white, and then color it that Bunsen burner kind of electric blue. Next, after you feel comfortable with your athame, try it with your wand. Notice the difference between those two tools. Notice the difference in how each of those tools directs the energy. This is not, I'm not going to tell you what it's supposed to feel like, because everybody's different. It's you practicing with your instruments and getting accustomed to which instruments feel more comfortable with which type of energy, how it feels different. Now, once you are comfortable using those two tools and directing different kinds of energy from the sky, let's say, or from the earth, then you can start to color the energy differently. Try it with your athame. Try some fire colors. Try some orange colors and some red colors. Again, since you're directing the energy into a bowl of salted water that's neutralizing the energy, you can pretty much feel free to do whatever you want. Color it however you'd like. Because notice how the energy doesn't become colored until it's leaving either the tip of the athame. You're not coloring the energy in your body. You're coloring the energy as it's leaving the athame. So you're not running red energy through your body. You're running pure energy through your body, and you're coloring it a band of color of red, of deep red, when you're practicing that. Try it with a little bit of orange. Try it with a gold. Try it with sun yellow. Now, when you use your wand, you may want to not use the fire colors so much, but use some more air colors. Use silver. Use blue. Use pale yellow. Use green. See what that feels like, directing through your wand. Now, once those are feeling comfortable to you, you can actually try directing energy from your other two elements as well, although they aren't as easy to direct energy with. You can direct energy with your chalice, but notice how if you hold your chalice with two hands with the cup facing out, it's not going to be an active form of energy. It's going to be more of a shower of energy. So it's not as good of a tool to direct energy with for most of us, but it's still worthwhile practice. With your pentacle, it's more of a shield than it is a directing energy, but you can still try it. See what it feels like. Hopefully that makes some sense. After you get good at all of this, try different types of shapes of energy coming out of your tools. Now, the athame is really great with this because notice how you can use the cutting edge side of your athame to make like a spray of energy that's going down into that cauldron of water. You can spray the energy rather than out of the tip of the athame, which is more of a focused point. Isn't that interesting? So play around with these different things. And again, until you get good at your target practice, don't do anything practical with them. This is just playing. This is just playing with directing energy. Remember, you're not coloring the energy in your body. You're coloring the energy as it leaves the tool. You're not going to practice with colored energy until you feel more comfortable with just the energy being directed. So that should give you something to work on this week, and I hope you enjoy it. Have a lot of fun with this. I look forward to talking to you next week. Love, many blessings, and Mary Part.